Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, on a Monday morning, 2 days to Christmas, Eagles finally lose a game, 12-3 on the year. Big picture, I think it is really not that big a deal. I think they should be fine from this because Detroit, Minnesota kept winning. And so the one seed looks like it was probably going to be off the table anyway. Anyway, with that said, an awful lot from a wild game to react to. And a man who walks in with a lot on his mind and probably a very cold shaved head because he just came in from the outside. The great Eagles linebacker, Seth Joyner. Good morning, Seth.
What's happening, guys?
Dude, it's chilly out there.
It's ridiculous, man.
Yeah, you're not used to this, are you?
I can't wait to get to the state of Arizona later on today.
Does hair help, Seth? I mean, you know, you got that bald thing going. Does hair help insulate the head?
You know, I don't know. I never give my head a chance to get cold. You saw the hat I got on, man.
That's an impressive hat. I like that hat.
How much
I don't mess around.
Yeah. Man. How much worse does football hurt when it's as cold as it is outside?
It depends on whether you're winning or losing.
That's true, too.
If you're winning, it doesn't hurt at all. If you're losing, every little hit, every little nick hurts. Yeah.
There you go. All right, Seth with us right now in studio for the next hour, brought to us by the great people at Bradford Water Heaters. How you heat your water matters. So whether it's a tank or tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit BradfordWhite.com. All right, Seth, biggest takeaway from the game. What is it?
Actually, two. I think yesterday was an opportunity, as unfortunate as it was, for not only the local media who had doubts about Jalen Hurts, but also the national media to open their eyes to see just how important he is to this offense.
You know what's especially true about?
Yes! Hammer!
Hey, buddy.
What's up?
So I agree with you. I agree with you.
Well, finally.
Well, look, it doesn't make me say he's this incredible player, but it does make me have appreciation for his massive impact on the run game. Massive impact.
See, this is the macro micro that we kind of got into
I'm giving you the.
Just making a point.
Yeah.
Because, Joe, it's not just you.
I know it's not.
It's not just you.
Oh, I'm well aware. It's not just media. It's a lot of fans. It's a lot of people. Yeah.
Exactly. When I'm coming, yeah. I'm not just coming for you.
Don't
take it personal.
I don't.
This is what it is. You know, different quarterbacks mean different things to different teams and different schemes.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And what people fail to realize is that, you know, AJ is huge for this football team. Saquon being added to this team is a really big deal. But I don't give a damn how good the two of those play. Jalen is the most important piece to this offense, okay? Because we saw it in back-to-back weeks. When Saquon was out last week for a limited amount of time, Jalen started off really hot the week before last, okay? Saquon went out for a couple of games. Kenny Gainwell had to go in.
Series, not games. Series.
Series,
yeah,
rather.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the defense kind of sputtered. The offense sputtered a little bit. Saquon comes back in. Boom. The offense picks back up again. This week, Saquon, you know, rips off the 68-yarder, which is a huge part of, you know, his 150 yards. Because when Jalen went out, it was a struggle the rest of the way. And what people don't really understand is that Jalen's presence in the run game really makes Saquon go when you stop and you think about it. Because when they run the RPO and there's the threat that Jalen may pull that ball and run,
totally. That
freezes the linebackers off the ball and it freezes the end guy on the line of scrimmage and inhibits his ability to crash and stop plays that are run up inside. Now, when Kenny Pickett came in the game, guess what? The defensive ends were crashing like crazy.
No question.
You know, now you got these extra guys in the run game because they know full well Kenny Pickett's not going to pull the ball and run with the football. Okay?
I agree.
So people need to stop this nonsense that any quarterback can come in here with this amount of talent, this amount of ability, you know, and set the league on fire, because there's only a handful of other quarterbacks in the National Football League that can do what Jalen Hurts does and add to the running game and the passing game the way that he does.
Now
we can open our eyes, you know, to the reality of what's really going on. Because if Jalen Hurts plays in that game yesterday, the Eagles score 40 points and beat the damn brakes off of the Washington Commanders. That's just a fact.
Third quarter.
So, Seth, I'm with you almost entirely. I'll just have this one pushback. I would hope that they would know with a lesser athletic quarterback to run different plays.
They had the lesser quarterback in there yesterday, Joe, and what happened?
They to run different plays. My point is, if there was a different quarterback in there permanently, it wouldn't be this offense, and hopefully plays more tailored to the quarterback.
That's not the point, though.
No, I know that's not the point, but part of my point is I think they put this quarterback, Pickett, in a tough spot where he's running plays that really aren't suited to his skill set.
Any quarterback that you put in that comes in mid-game is going to be put in that situation, because the game plan that you put together all week long was for Jalen Hurts to run it.
But you've had four.
Once Jalen Hurts went out of the game, Joe, they're over there on the sideline. They're on the sideline scrambling because the game plan that they have for Jalen, Kenny Pickett can't run that.
Yeah, but my point is, have a different game plan if the backup quarterback has to get in there. I don't care.
Jalen, he is the only quarterback who practiced all week long.
John, let me settle it.
I'm agreeing with you.
When Carson Wentz went down, even though the Eagles had success with Nick Foles in the beginning, they had to adjust and create a whole nother offense.
I know.
It didn't happen in the first game, Joe.
That's fair. That's fair. But I'm just saying, I wish after 4 months they would have had other plays ready.
It's not that easy.
Immediately ready.
It's not that easy.
Immediately ready. Now, even though they didn't practice it all week.
I would expect for him to be much more prepared if he has to play this week.
Sure.
Totally.
Okay?
Me too.
Because now you've got enough time to devise something that works for him.
Yeah, I agree. What was point two?
You
said
you like
two main takeaways. What's your second takeaway?
Point two is, and I've been watching on social media, CJ Gardner-Johnson, even his comments after the game. Today's NFL is different. When I play, you could cuss a referee up and down, and they just had to swallow it. They didn't care. They let it go. Today, they're so thin-skinned. If you say the wrong thing to them, it's a pride thing. You don't talk to me like that. Do you know the power that I have? And they want to throw the flags, okay?
Is that what it was? He attacked the official?
He didn't say anything to the official. It was just what he was saying, okay? Mm-hmm. And I hear people, that's the way he plays. And no. Slow down. Everybody knows that if you get two unsportsman likes,
gone.
That your ass is gone.
That's right.
You already know that.
No question.
So the minute that he got the first one, and I'm sure the referees along the way was like, okay, dial it back. They're telling him the whole way.
Including the coaching staff probably grabbing him.
Including the coaching staff.
Yeah, totally, okay? Totally.
You have to shut your damn mouth and play football, okay?
I agree.
He's over the top. He's
but that's part of what makes him him.
No. BG does the same thing.
Yeah.
Has BG ever been in that situation, John?
Probably. You mean where he gets ejected?
Yeah.
No.
Getting on sportsmanlike.
Yeah, no.
Okay? So whatever it is that he said was so egregious.
He knows how to draw the line.
He was so egregious that the other guy could hit him in the face.
Yeah.
And the referee goes, oh, no, that's you. Okay,
yeah.
we watched it.
We saw it. The ref was emphatic.
Okay, so now, you already know you got one strike.
Yeah.
It ain't baseball. You ain't getting three. You're only getting two. And he continues to go on.
I agree.
And then after the game is over, he goes, I got ejected for nothing. No, you didn't. You got ejected for running your damn mouth, and your selfishness hurt the team yesterday.
Because I don't think he knew that he would get ejected.
He probably didn't think he would.
I think he probably never could have imagined,
John,
was coming.
If you got one,
I understand that. Yeah. And he was incredulous about that one.
You can't put yourself in position to get two.
Here, let me tell you something.
Are you kidding me?
We don't know what was said, obviously. We don't know. Maybe we find out. We probably won't. But I'll tell you this. Here's what gives me extra thought to think he was undisciplined with his words to an extra degree. What he did after he got ejected. I mean, if you haven't seen it, he walks off the field and double birds the crowd. So, like, and he's going to get fined for that. So, you can't tell me you had a disciplined mind when you get ejected and you throw the bird at the fans.
Then he goes on social media after the game, and it's everybody else's fault except for his own.
Here's what he said. Respectfully, got kicked out for nothing. I play with passion and fire. Guys was chirping all day. What do you expect? Here's what the referee said. A pool reporter met with the referee, or at least a referee, that gave a statement on the matter. Here's what was said by the ref. Quote, he's, meaning CJGJ, he's basically taunting the opponent on the second foul. He already had a first one earlier in the game that we announced as his first towards disqualification. So this became his second. He was taunting the player, so that's a disqualification by rule. Look, we don't know what was said, so it's impossible to discern whether it truly should have been thrown out or not.
So I don't care what was said, okay?
Don't do the second one.
You're a major piece on that defense, and you can't put yourself in that situation when you know you only got one strike left.
Okay? He could not imagine that was going to happen.
The entire backfield, well, you can't imagine it, John, but you can't put yourself in that situation.
Look, I agree. It's terrible to get kicked out when your team needs you, and McCollum could not hold a candle to what he was able to do out
not.
There.
They were in disarray the entire rest of the game.
They were.
You had pieces going in and out.
They were. Yes.
Him and Reed Blankenship on the back end are really good duo, and they do a really good job of communicating what needs to happen. I can't tell you how many times him and the cornerbacks and the slot guy, they're looking at each other trying to figure out what the hell, even on the touchdown
pass. Part of that communication is because he's a loudmouth yelling at everybody all the time. Like, that is part of how he plays this game.
He knows, he knows what he's doing.
He did not think he was going to get kicked out of the game.
That's above reproach for me, okay? Because listen, I talked a lot of crap when I played, okay? I played with guys that, like, went over the line.
And
you know who I'm talking. You know Andre would do things. You understand what I'm saying?
You said yourself, like, these officials, they got a different attitude than those did back then. Like, if you would have crossed the line, they didn't kick you out.
You're 100% right, John. But you want to know something? Even Reed Blankenship said in the post game. He said, listen, you know, when they got something out for you, listen, they already know. They already know. Yeah. So somebody.
I'm worried about Jalen Carter in that respect.
Well, those two guys are targeted right now by the refs.
Voice of reason has to tell you that you have to dial it back. You cannot put yourself, can't put your team in a position that he put himself in. And I don't give a damn what anybody on social media says. He was dead wrong. You can play with passion, you can play with great aggression, and you can chirp all you want. But when that referee tells you, hey, number 8, all right, dial it back.
Yeah.
Dial it back. You already got one, and I'm sure that conversation happened on the field. You already got one, all right? Mm-hmm. The next one, you're out of here, so stop it. And he continued on, and he cost his team. And to me, that's unconscionable.
No, I think that's well said, Seth.
You know, by the way, they had to be warned repeatedly.
Well,
they may
have given him the benefit of the doubt 3 or 4 other times.
Oh, that's the thing.
That's the other part of this.
There was an ongoing conversation. Yeah.
Right, Seth?
They're just not going to go 1, 2, boom, you're gone.
Right.
You know, they're telling you.
That's true.
They're trying to give you a chance to dial it back.
That's true. They don't want to throw you out.
And he was just he was so out of control that he couldn't dial his emotions back.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Seth with us, spitting some fire. This is good stuff. 215-592-9494. By the way, I'm thinking Seltzer.
Yeah, Hammer!
Never thrown out a Beat the Hammer, which you want to talk about talking trash and stuff.
Yeah, it's a good call. I didn't know I could throw you out. Well, maybe I'll have to do that.
Is that a 2025?
Forfeit, yeah.
Is that a possibility?
Yeah,
because
Hammer!
That would mean a forfeit
because
you got tossed.
Because you know what the audience wants to say to me, and it's what the rest were telling, you know, CJGJ yesterday.
Take caution in your tone.
Just watch a little bit there.
Shut his hole!
Let's go to the phones.
You know what, though?
We got to throw a little bit of levity into this.
Exactly. But when we get to Jalen again, I want to make a point about the concussion, the protocol, and how it all happened. It was very inconspicuous to me.
Okay, one call, and then we'll get to that point. Dominic right now in Pendel. Dominic, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
What's happening?
I discussed the Shea Gardner-Johnson thing. Yes, he does play with passion. I want to know where in the rules it says you don't like what a player says, you can hit another player.
No, it shouldn't. No, listen, that's a mistake by the ref. It should have been 15 yards. They can say all they want that CJ GJ's got to get one because they heard something. I respect that. The refs have that right. They should have thrown a penalty on the second player. No question.
It should have been offsetting penalty.
Correct.
That's what it should have
Correct.
Been.
Correct.
To another player.
Dominic, you were all on the same page, man. No one disagrees with that.
Well, happy holidays, and thank you for letting me call.
You got it, buddy. Let's get one more call, and then we'll get to Seth's point. Francis right now in Mantua. Francis, good morning.
Hi. My name is Frank Becker. I was a longtime fan of the Eagles and a longtime listener, first-time caller. I was in attendance at the game yesterday, so I was watching it. And here's the way I feel. I agree with everything you said about the defense and the special teams wholeheartedly. But the other thing that concerned me, at least to me, was that the offensive play calling when Pickett winning the game seemed so vanilla. Like the first down, they're always giving it to Barkley. It seemed like Washington just waiting on that. And it seemed very vanilla with their play calling. I was a little disappointed that they didn't come up with a little more creativity to kind of throw Washington off their stride. You know, but I agree with everything. The defense was a disappointment.
Look, to be fair, Francis, they ran, and it may be the first time this year, a trick play. In that,
Did you love it?
Well, it didn't work. But, I mean, Francis, I agree with you. Like, vanilla, it was mostly what they do. What they do, they did. But, you know, they did try near the goal line to have Saquon throw a pass, and obviously he didn't feel he had it, so he had to eat it. And then, you know, he got stuffed for probably a 2 or 3 yard loss. I mean, they don't normally do a trick play, and they did try one. Is my point.
Yeah, it just seemed like it was first down and Washington just waiting for us.
Well, I mean, the reality, and Seth made this point, you saw the massive impact, and Frank, good call, buddy. You saw the impact of no Jalen and the impact on the running game. It was very clear. I mean,
what they should have did is they should have went more play action pass on first down because Washington started loading the box on first and second down because they knew that the Eagles wanted to get ahead of the sticks. So we're not going to let that happen. We're going to drop Saquon for two. We're going to drop Saquon for three. And now we're going to put him in second and 12 and second and 13 and come after the quarterback.
They didn't do any screens. I'm not talking bubble screens. Any Saquon screens. Like
they're just not a good screen team.
No, they're not. They're not.
And I wonder why. Because they have an athletic offensive line and two really good running backs that can run it.
Yeah.
And they are absolutely horrible at it.
I looked it up earlier today. Saquon's catches for the year. I forget the exact number, but it's under 40. That's not good, you know. I mean, it just goes to show they don't get to that point much. Anyway, all right, the second or additional point related to Jalen. What were you saying there?
I just thought, you know, I heard some comments about I heard you guys talking about, you know, him wanting to go back in the game. And I understand that the concussion protocol, when you've looked at it over its inception, you know, Jalen was obviously dazed. He comes off the field, and this is the first thing that happens when you come off the field. The first thing they do is they take your helmet.
So they should have taken his helmet. They should have kept his helmet, right?
They took his helmet.
Yeah.
They took his helmet. He goes in the tent, and he comes out of the tent. He's got his helmet on, strapped up, you know, looking like he's going back in again.
And that's why I thought he was going back in, because he had his helmet back.
That's my point. You talk about something being real inconspicuous, because most of the time, when you go into the tent and they take your helmet, they take you from the tent back to the locker room.
I thought that was the protocol.
That is the protocol.
Yeah, you think there's a protocol mistake.
That was absolute BS, okay? Because whatever he went through in the tent, he was cleared well enough for him to stand on the sideline, put
his helmet back
on, and look like he's going back in, and then all of a sudden somebody comes and they says, oh, you need to take him in the back. So whatever you did in the tent, that was very inconspicuous to me.
Okay, I get your point. They should have either sent him back or not, and if he stays, he's allowed to play, if he's gone, he's gone.
If he was going to the locker room, he should have went from the tent, straight to the locker room because they already had his helmet.
So somebody
cleared him enough to give him his helmet back and allowed him to be on the sideline looking like he was coming back in, and then all of a sudden they pulled him.
That's interesting.
That to me was a head scratcher. Who made the decision that, oh, now he needs to go to the – and then how long it took. It took almost a quarter and a half for them to say that he's out of the game.
Right.
That's usually done. See, that
– It was odd.
It was odd.
It was more than odd.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they were noticing additional things. I don't know. I mean, maybe.
I don't buy that, Joe.
I don't buy it much. I'm
I
just,
don't buy it. I don't buy it at all.
Do you think it was a protocol breakdown?
No.
You think someone messed up?
Can I throw it over on the side of conspiracy?
Fishiness.
Yeah, no. What do you think happened?
I think that a call came from somewhere and said, take him out of the damn game. That's my opinion.
That's possible.
That's maybe. My opinion. And for everybody that's thinking that he won't play this week, I believe that he'll play this week because I think he was woozy, but I don't think that it warranted them taking him out of the game the way that they did.
Do you think he was fighting with them back in the locker room?
I'm sure he was.
And that's what took so long?
I'm sure he was because he was standing on the sideline ready to go, Rhea.
Yeah.
You know, if he wasn't ready to go, then they wouldn't have never gave him his helmet back, and he wouldn't have been back on the sideline. They would have taken him straight back to the, you know, and these are the things that kind of rub me the wrong way about the whole protocol. Have a whole protocol. If a guy goes in the tent, then immediately take him immediately to the locker room and do all your other assessments there and make a decision there.
I think that what you're saying makes a lot of sense, Seth. It makes no sense that he'd be allowed to stay on the sideline if he has a concussion.
With his helmet.
Or to even get his helmet.
And he's trying
but I'm just saying one is,
this,
one is the same.
Like, he's impatiently
pacing. If you let him stay on the sidelines, if that's what the implication, you can come back
Joe,
in.
There have been many occasions where
guys
stand on the sideline and they're trying to figure out whether they want to let him go back in. The reason why they take the helmet is because guys have been known to just run back in the game when nobody's looking
and
get a player to him. But the fact that you gave him his helmet.
I gotcha. Howie might have made a phone call in the 2 or 3 minutes and said, he's out. That's what you're saying.
I don't even I want to go a little further. I want to go a little further than
who?
Howie.
Who?
Howie wanted to win the game.
Thinks the NFL.
NFL?
Said it looks bad, take him out is what I think he's implying.
I'm gonna say it without saying it.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. It's possible. Let's go to KD right now. KD, good morning.
Good morning, guys. First time caller, long time listener.
Well, thank you, KD.
Welcome aboard, buddy.
Oh, man, y'all my guys, man. Love y'all. John, Seth, man, been a fan of y'all's my whole life.
Wait, is that the end of the list?
Thank you, man.
It's just John and Seth?
Very kind.
I mean, like, KD, how do you think Seltzeria and the camera feel? I mean, that's it?
I love y'all, too. I love y'all.
That's fishy.
Those my bros, man, since day one. Day one.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, but CJ Gardner Johnson, man, like he is a fiery guy. I do understand. I respect it. But I be looking at it and I be seeing that he feeds off. Well,
Jalen Carter.
I'm nervous, man.
Jalen Carter.
Take a breath.
Jalen Carter. Yes, they feeds off each other energy, and like I like it. The chippiness behind that, though. But see, we had a soft defense for years, man. Like. Prior to the one we got right now, I ain't even gonna hold you. Like we had the Bimba don't break defense. It was soft, and I love the fire behind it. But sometimes you do gotta know when to dial it back as a man, like you know. And it was just unexcusable for me, man. Like you gotta know when to dial it back.
Well, I agree with you on that, KD. I do. All right, my man. In 2025, because you're a good caller. Make sure you call us more often when you can, buddy.
Oh, man, I promise you I will.
Nothing to be nervous about. Just a couple people talking sports, man. It's all good.
Yeah, that's all it is, man. But I've been listening to this show my whole life, man.
Well, hold on. You mean station?
Well, this station.
Because we've only had a show for 8 years, and I think you're older than 8.
Absolutely.
All right, man. I'm just playing around with you. KD, good call, buddy.
Thank you, KD.
Happy holidays to you, pal. Appreciate it, man. Hope you're getting ready for a great couple days up ahead with Christmas and Hanukkah and... Eventually, we get to New Year's and a lot of good stuff up ahead. Hope you're having a good day. Seth Joyner with us in studio. All right, so the criticism has gotten to someone clearly because I see all sorts of tweets. James, you brought up his name earlier, Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
All right, so let me read a couple of things Greg Olsen put out last night after the game. After I'm sure he saw
a wee bit sensitive.
Yeah, wee sensitive. All right, so a couple of things. And I'm not going to read it all because this could go on and on. We don't have time to read all this. But he goes, final couple thoughts on today's game. Hurts was not knocked out of the game by a dirty hit. His head hit the ground. Losing Hurts, of course, altered the game as we covered, he puts in caps, John, at length. We covered it at length. Example, lack of quarterback sneak option on fourth down. Washington all but ignoring the pass to load up on Saquon. change of coverage style. It was all laid out in detail. And he goes on and on and talks about how good Jaden Daniels was. So someone fires in with, how was Washington in this game? Five turnovers. This is amazing, right? James, that was kind of like what you said earlier.
Exactly.
Because those two said it a ton, right?
Nonstop.
So Greg Olson fires back. I'm not debating the offense was bad after Hurts left. We covered it in detail. Maybe you guys weren't listening or didn't understand. Someone's a wee bit sensitive here, ladies and gentlemen. He goes to say, we showed coverage change, blitz plan change, lack of fourth down quarterback sneak, but when you lose your starting quarterback and the top defense gives up 36 points, the opposing team should get some credit. Philly fans don't like that. I get it. And all good. A little sensitive. A wee bit sensitive.
Well, I'd like to point out to Greg Olson, who's always gotten pretty much generally a great praise from everybody around here. He's not going to get it after
that. Yeah, no, you gotta take it in stride, my man.
Dude, what are you doing responding,
first
of all?
Great announcer, but he had some missteps yesterday. And just let it be, man.
Yeah.
But Seth, you always fire back on Twitter. You're not a let it be kind of guy.
I mean,
Beatles had let it be. Seth Joyner never lets it be. You're a fire back kind of dude.
It just depends. Like, I'm okay with debate.
Sure.
Because I'm a debater.
Yeah.
Just don't get disrespectful.
I agree.
Because if you get disrespectful, then I'm gonna chop you up. And then I'm gonna block your dumb ass.
There you go. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Wishing their employees, customers, and WIP listeners happy holidays and a healthy new year. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. Poll question: which of these annoyed you the most yesterday? So the four choices we put out were CJ GJ getting ejected, which he can view either through annoyance at him or at the refs for zapping him out twice. But anyway, CJ GJ choice A. Choice B, the defense in the fourth quarter, which gave up 20 points in that quarter alone. Choice C, Devontae's drop. Obviously, if he catches it, you know, Eagles almost definitely win. Choice D, kickoffs and kickoff coverage. Now, James, I think everyone else weighed in earlier. Which one would you say for this?
The kickoffs and kickoffs coverage, it felt so avoidable. Like, they just kept doing the exact same thing every single time.
It was wild. And, Seth, you would go CJ GJ? Is that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, I think that was just as game-changing on the defensive side of the
huge
ball as losing Jalen on the offensive side of the football.
All right, John, I have the poll results. Which one do you think won this poll?
CJ GJ is interesting because we didn't really see it much. It's more like we're just trying to piece together what happened. So maybe it doesn't get the full force of the votage. I can't believe that special teams kickoff return would actually win this, though. So my other options were
Devontae's drop and defense in the fourth quarter.
Man, maybe it's defense in the fourth quarter.
It is.
Nice pull.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm surprised because I would have gone with the kickoffs because it was all game. It was outrageous.
Well, I mean, it was the win that prevented
it. That's part of it.
It was the win. Yeah, the coverage sucked. The coverage sucked.
It did. That's my point.
But also, you know, when you're catching the ball at the 10 on a dead run,
yeah,
you know, you're going to get out to the 30-yard line. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
All right, so here's how it came out.
Stinks.
Defense in the fourth quarter, 35%. Devontae's drop, 29. CJ GJ eject at 19. Kickoff and kickoff coverage, 17. Seth, what'd you make of the refs, man? I thought they were a fiasco.
I think the refereeing this year in the National Football League is about as worse as I've ever seen it.
And why is that?
You know,
I mean, we have all the reviews and reach slow motion, but we had that the last 15 years, so we should always be able to see that stuff. It does feel worse.
The problem is a lot of refereeing is objectivity. And any time that you have objectivity, you know, without accountability, then you have a massive problem.
Seth, you said earlier sometimes their personalities are getting in the way now, whereas in the past they didn't really have personalities, the officials, quite the way that they do. Like, I think you're probably more aware of this than I am because I was not talking to people the way that you did. I couldn't. I mean, I didn't have that sort of swagger ability. Let's be honest. You know, like you have more experience with that stuff. You know the way it sounds and the way it works.
You know what it is, John. In my opinion. And I said it on air yesterday, is the continued wussification of society and all things that are testosterone driven. Like when I played, football was a man's game. Now, I'm not saying that to minimize what these guys do today in the least little bit, because they're playing the game under the constructs and under the rules that the NFL has set forward, okay? When I played, it was a man's game, and the referees knew and understood that chirping was going on, that cussing was going on, that fighting was going to happen, okay? And it wasn't a big deal because, you know, when you put 22 guys on the field and you're putting manhood against manhood, testosterone against testosterone, well, it's not just a physical fight. It's the psychological warfare that goes on. So trash talking is more about the psychological side than anything else, okay? And that sometimes, you know, the words are going to get, you know, cover the kids.
Racy.
Cover the kids, the women, and the children's ears.
Sure.
You know? And
you should hear the women who were watching that game yesterday.
I bet, really. Especially in Philly, because that's how we roll.
Exactly. Ray Rhodes would be fired for that pregame speech he gave in 95 now.
You know,
before the Cowboys came in 95.
But my point is, the referees back then, they understood and knew that this was the nature of the game. And that, you know, you could be the referee, Joe, and I would undress you, you know, with cuss words and whatnot when you call something, you know, that I deem was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I get, you know, the fans that are continuing to say what they're saying is that, you know, oh, guys you can't say anything on the field anymore. But when I say the wussification of society, this is what it is.
No, there's a lot of that. I know.
The NFL and the refs are now controlling what you say on the field.
But you're also saying CJGJ has to adapt to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's what it is.
He's not, like, listen, if he was playing in our era, oh, he could get away with that.
Yeah.
And the referee would swallow it and walk away and wouldn't say a word.
Sure.
Okay?
Seth, let me ask you this one, because this one for me, like, I'm torn on this one. I thought it was pretty light. I forget which Eagles player got the penalty for pushing the dude after the play, and he trips over a guy.
Oh, it was Jalen Carter.
Melton Williams got one, too.
So,
yeah, that was another one.
So the one where the player gets pushed after the play and falls, should that not be a penalty?
No.
Even though it's clearly after the penalty?
You saw the same thing.
I think not a penalty, but I'll say this. It was, like, somewhat significantly after the play.
Like
the one on the quarterback should not have been called. Whoever was that? That was Milton Williams, right? That's not a penalty. That's a shove to a quarterback who threw the ball a nanosecond before that.
Mm-hmm.
The one with the offensive lineman when a tackle had been made, and now I just feel like shoving the lineman and he falls. Like, I get that. I wouldn't call it, but to me, that's closer to a penalty than the one when you shove the quarterback.
They have dialed this thing back so far.
I thought that was a joke, shoving the quarterback thing.
They've dialed it back so far and made it, you know, it's like, you remember, I can remember a time where, you know, you would have your head on a swivel around the pile, like 3 to 5 seconds after a play, everybody was on the ground because guys were going to come and clean you up around the pile.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, Seth, I got to tell you, the worst I think I ever saw of all time, this one was awful. When that guy knocked out McMahon in, what was it, 86, that Green Bay Packer. Yeah. I mean, that was about 10 seconds after the play. And
John Runyon used to lay out around piles.
Well,
like,
I know.
He would lay out, a 6'9" lay out.
By the way, it's all four major sports. Hockey barely is fighting. Baseball, you barely have a brawl because you're not allowed to throw at a guy, throw inside, right? Everyone gets warned. Basketball, you rarely see a fight. Yeah. After some of the stuff in the 90s, they cleaned that up. And football, you know, I'm just saying, like, I miss the old days.
And now you've got, you know, the high-priced offensive players that are playing it up, okay? After every play, the wide receivers jump up off the ground with their hands in the air.
Right.
Oh, there was pass interference. Shut your ass up and just play football, okay?
And LeBron's a great player, but if he had to deal with what Mike dealt with. LeBron, I mean.
For sure.
God.
Even the quarterbacks are doing it now. Every single time that Pat Mahomes is on the ground, he's laying on the ground with his hands and his feet up in the air like a dead roach looking at the referee trying to get a roughing call. It's like, see, the league, I understand what they do, but every single time that there's an adjustment to rules and the physicality in the game, they always go too damn far. You know, the nature of the game is physicality, you know, and guys are meant to be knocked down. That's the nature of the game. If you don't want to be knocked down and you don't want to be hit, then go find something else better to do. But you've dialed it back so far, that you've taken the aggression out of the game. Like when, case in point, I'm going to shut up. I'm done. When Jaden Daniels is fourth and 11, and he takes off on a 30-yard run, and I'm watching the defenders.
They're afraid to hit him.
I'm like, light his ass up, will you? He is running, standing straight up, and I'm watching the defenders, and they're coming at him, and they're starting to slow down because they think at some point in time he's going to slide.
No question.
I don't want to get then, the 15-yard
no
like
question.
Reed Blankenship got last week.
$15,000 fine on
no doubt.
Light him up the same way that they lit our quarterback up, and live with the consequences, okay? Yeah. Maybe he'll make another decision the next time he decides to run off. But on 4th and 11, you let him run for 30 freaking yards? I lost it.
I get it. Look, thank God they picked up the penalty on the guy that went above the guy, whatever that – what was that one? Where a guy – was that the
other way around. Yeah,
no, it was on us.
Yeah, it was on us.
But thank God they picked it up for the good of the game, I'm saying. No, I'm just saying. Like,
I wish they had. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, saying,
we could have used that
15. I don't know what you're talking about.
I get it, but we could have used that 15.
I'm well aware.
I'm not doing this show with love towards you at this moment.
No, I understand. But you know what I meant. All right, with that said, let's do what we do. And by the way, I'm for hand checking's got to come back into the NBA. And they might even have to eliminate the three-point shot. I'm just going to put that out there. I'm so sick of the NBA now because I'm just thinking about Bill Laimbeer for a moment, and now I'm like where the modern game is, and I'm all over the place.
Never happened.
I'll tell you what, Seth, they better push it back. Three-point shot is killing the NBA. It's killing it.
It'll never happen. It'll never happen. I mean, you've got records. Like, you've got records.
It's boring to watch. It's boring. Did you see that? I don't know if you guys saw. There was a possession on, what was it, Friday night when the Sixers played or Saturday, whatever night it was. Player on the opposing team dribbles for about 20 seconds. Just dribbles, and then shoots a horrible three-pointer that was a complete brick. It's like, how is that entertaining? It was a disaster of a possession.
You know the one that I hate the most?
What?
When they fast break for the three.
Oh, dude.
You got three on one.
I know. Yeah.
And a guy runs to the three-point line, and you got two on one where you can get an easy two.
I know.
And they kick it out to the three.
I know.
I'm like, this is insane.
But they do make them in a high clip, and 3 points is worth more than two. So I do think it's hurting the game. I do think they should push back to three. With that, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
It's time's yours.
And I will always be for fighting in hockey. I just want to say that. Time's Yours is brought to us by Xfinity Mobile. The sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge, Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with Time's Yours.
Defense, they stung today. And this Jalen Carter, they need to reel his you-know-what in. Enough with these penalties. This contributed to our loss. I am pissed. I knew this was going to be a tough game, but we should have won that game. They got sloppy, very disappointed. You guys need to get it together, get it tight.
All right.
Thank you.
I think they will.
And hello.
Might help.
This was a bad loss. It happens. We need to regroup. And nothing more than to win our division title than our stinking hatred rivals, the Cowboys. We're still 12-3. We're still the best team in the NFL. Let's go win that division.
They should. And if they get either of the two main quarterbacks to play, I think they will.
I actually want to give Kenny Pickett a ton of credit in that game. Who knows when he hurt those ribs. And that dude stuck in there, finished the game. He put a perfect pass to Devontae Smith to win the game. And this dude was hurting for who knows how long. We don't know when the ribs weren't hurt on that throw. They were hurt way before that. Ton of credit.
Some credit. I mean, I don't think it was way before
it
that.
It was not that great. Let's be honest.
He was okay. He wasn't great. He was
that
okay.
That game, that moment was too big for him.
He's not that good. He's not that
you
good.
You think so? You think Pittsburgh would draft him in the first round and let him go after 2 years if he was that good?
Correct.
There's a lot of things that be said about yesterday's game. You know, a lot of missed opportunities, some drop passes that could have sealed the game. But the bottom line is, we learned one thing. The most important player on this team is Jalen Hurts. Go Birds.
All right. You got one more, James? Go ahead.
I blame that loss on whoever picked the time yours called. For weeks, I've been calling in with a special shout-out to Max and Jeff. Guess what didn't get played on Friday? My call. Guess what happened with the Eagles? They lost. I blame you, Wechter.
Wow.
Ooh, wow. All right. It's Joe's fault.
And with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
All right, let's talk to Gino right now. Gino, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, Gino.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. You guys.
Same to you, man.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
I just wanted to, I want to ask Seth a quick question, but I was going to say, before I got to that, I was going to say my Twitter poll answer would have been E, Joe Davis and Greg Olsen. I mean, that was absolutely brutal.
It wasn't good. It wasn't.
I mean, you would have thought that that Jalen Hurts played the whole game.
You would have. I agree with you. Yep.
And I wanted to ask Seth, I heard Ray Dinger talking about, you know, saying that he thinks we could have trouble with the pot with, you know, quarterbacks that scramble and stuff like that. Do you think that's really a concern? Like, I mean, I know yesterday it was, but I mean, no one's better at that than Lamar Jackson, and we completely shut him down. So, I mean, could we just chalk it up? Maybe it was just a bad day. I think it was just all around a bad day.
Good question, Gino. Gino, good question, a good call. Merry Christmas to you, buddy. Seth, what do you make of that?
You know what I think happened? I think that when they played him the first time, Jaden Daniels, he had a rib injury, and they kind of had him in bubble wrap. They told him not to scramble.
Yeah.
So the Eagles really didn't see the full potential of his speed and his elusiveness.
Yeah.
And I think they went to this game kind of, you know, misguided in how they should take care of him. Because the way that they rushed him and let him out of the pocket, Joe, he rushed 9 times for 81 yards.
Yep.
He led the team in rushing.
Weren't we spying him more?
You can't spy a guy that's that fast. You just have to be more disciplined. Make him play from the pocket. That's what you do with guys that like to scramble and run around.
And is he how fast are we talking? We're 4'6" guy, aren't we?
He's fast enough to run away from our defense.
Well, I think the other problem with spying a guy, it's not even just the speed. If he can actually throw, then you're totally taking a guy out of coverage who can beat you passing the ball, which that guy can.
The problem is...
That's an issue.
The problem was twofold. When they went their 4-man rush, they just simply weren't getting home.
Yeah.
Right, okay? They did. Yeah.
And then he would break the pocket, and he would scramble, you know, for massive yards.
Yep.
And when they decided to blitz it, they didn't play man behind it in their blitz. They went zone blitz out of it.
Yep.
So then the wide receivers just sat down in the gaps, and he got the ball out in a hurry.
All right, Seth, a couple quick things since we got very limited time. Give me 15 seconds on this if you can. Is your mindset if the Eagles win on Sunday, they rest the starters week 18? I mean, assuming the one seed's off the table.
You're asking a football player. Hell no. Play football.
Really?
Yes. Play football.
John, that's the wrong answer from Seth, right?
The continued wussification.
No.
No, Joe, stop it.
A.J. Brown got injured in the last game last year, and it didn't matter.
I don't care, okay? As a football player, I got 17 weeks to play and 17 weeks to play and 35 to recover, okay? I'll rest when I'm old, and I'll sleep when I'm dead. Stop this nonsense. Stop it.
He went over 15 seconds, but it was good radio, so okay, even though he's wrong.